Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." Again, the Jews were divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is out of his mind. Why listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" A loving shepherd. Jesus was a loving shepherd. There are two evangelists talking about their programs, and one was explaining to the other how he was seeking to be the ideal shepherd to his television flock. "There are three ways I seek to do that," he said. "Okay, what are the three ways?" the other evangelist said. "Well," he explained, "first, we find them. Every year we find new stations to carry our ministry. Then we feed them. I give them the plain, unvarnished word of God." "Okay, what's the third thing?" "Well," he answered, "once we found them and fed them, then we fleece them." And I know they're not all like that, but we have seen our share of those over the past so many years. And it's sad. And that's an example of a bad shepherd. Jesus was a good shepherd. Jesus cares about his flock. Jesus is not about to fleece us. He wants to help us and care for us. He talks about him in contrast with the hired hand. And it's because Jesus knows us and we know him. And he cares about us. Where the hired hand, the prophets and the Sadducees and the Pharisees that came before, they were hired hands. They would run at the sign of danger. Jesus did not do that. There was a paratrooper who had recently retired, and a friend of him was asking, "Well, how many times did you jump?" And he looked at his friend and he said, "None." And his friend looked at him and said, "Wait, I thought you were a paratrooper in the military." He says, "Yes, in fact I was, but I never jumped. I was pushed out of the plane several times." The hired hand never jumps. He has to be pushed. Jesus is not like that. Jesus jumps of his own volition. He did not have to be pushed. He understood that dying for the sins of humanity was something that he had to do. He died an excruciating death, but he still did it on his own. He laid down his life for his sheep, for us. We really do matter to Christ. One of his most memorable parables is comparing himself to the shepherd out in the wilderness. One of his sheep goes missing. He leaves the 99 others to go find that one lost sheep. And that's how much he cares about you and me. If one of us starts to become lost, he is going to find us and bring us back to the other 99. It's kind of like the scene from September 11th, 2001. Everybody remembers that. You can probably tell me where you were, and everybody was glued to the TV. But after the buildings collapsed and there were six stories of rubble, rescuers ran in to see if they could find anybody that was still alive. This one rescuer was kind of working his way down through a hole with his flashlight and shining his flashlight ahead of him, and all of a sudden a hand reached out and grabbed him, and he almost lost the flashlight. He quickly reached behind him for some of the other rescuers, and they formed a chain hand in hand and pulled the survivor out of this rubble. And that's how Jesus is with us. He goes hand in hand with us, just as we go hand in hand with each other as a church, as people, as Christians. We go hand in hand and help each other by holding each other's hands. He risked his life for his sheep. He gave his life for his sheep. I don't know how much you know about sheep, but back in his day, when they put them in a pen, what they would do is they'd build these rock walls, like a round pen. They'd leave an opening in one end of it, and at night, that's where the shepherd slept. He was literally the gate to the sheep's pen. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Jesus was always real good about using imagery that those people could understand, that agricultural, herding society, they could understand what he was talking about. He was the gate. Anyone else who climbs over, he's talking about going over the wall, is a thief and a bandit. But that's why the shepherd would lay in front of that opening to keep bad things from getting in there. Sheep are not real smart. They follow each other. They follow their shepherd. They're smelly, oily things that you get that on you and it kind of penetrates your clothing. It's not fun being a shepherd. But Jesus didn't care. He made that analogy. There's a book called The One and Only You by Bruce Larson. It talks about a situation with sheep. It talks about an old ewe that he hated this one with a passion because she was always trying to take advantage and trying to assert her authority instead of the shepherd. She had trouble having a lamb one evening, and they had to pen her up to try and keep her still. They had to wrestle her down and sit on her head in order to pull the lamb out of her. And after that, she made like she was so exhausted, she was not going to get up and take care of that baby lamb. So one of the shepherds got in there, climbing like he was going to get in the pen, and she immediately got up. So there was nothing wrong with her. She was faking it. She just didn't want to care for that baby. And that's how sheep are sometimes. Maybe not all quite that bad, but sheep follow their master's voice. They don't know anything else. They've herd together. And Jesus uses that analogy because he sees how we need him. We listen for his voice. He knows us and we know him. We know him by his voice. And he knows each and every one of us by name. The millions and billions of us on this earth, he knows each and every one of us by name. A great example of that, especially on Easter morning, was Mary was in the garden and Jesus walked up to her and she did not recognize him right off. She was crying because she thought they'd stolen her master. And he said, "Mary," and she immediately recognized who he was. She recognized his voice because he knew her name. just like he knows our name, each and every one of us. And when he speaks to us, we recognize that voice. And he is prepared to lay down his life for us anytime we have need. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. From the top to the bottom, he knows us, and we know him. Everybody remembers the book 1984, I'm sure. You probably had to read it in high school and do a report on it. You remember from the book, the big thing was this was a totalitarian state. They watched everything you do, corrected you if you weren't doing what you were supposed to do, whether you were at home, at work, on the street, wherever. And we seem to be coming to that kind of a society. If you look around you, everywhere you go, there's a camera somewhere keeping an eye on you. And it gets worse all the time because that's the society we live in. But the good side of that, not so much the cameras, but a good side of that analogy is Jesus is like Big Brother and watches over everything we do. And he corrects us when we do something wrong, but in a nice way, not like they did in 1984. He's nice about it. There was a news report several years ago that Israeli scientists had developed a microchip that they could plant in your skin, and it was able to be detected by satellite so they could know exactly where you were. They actually designed this for their Secret Service agents so they could track them, equivalent to our CIA. But then they decided, why not sell the chip, and they were selling it to the more fortunate for $5,000 a pop. They called it GenEdics, and it was inserted into 43 of our more prevalent people. And we may be coming to that. If you believe the Bible and you believe the words of Revelation, we may be coming to that. But that's another story. Jesus watches over us as closely as somebody being monitored with one of those microchips. He is standing beside you through the good, bad, and ugly, helping you, celebrating with you when things go right, and comforting you when things go wrong. He's always there watching you. He sees us as sheep, because he wants us to know that he is the good shepherd, that he died and rose again to watch over us and save us. He wants to be a partner with us so that we can cope with life, because life gets hard sometimes, really hard. And sometimes we want things to happen so bad, and we pray, and it just doesn't happen, and we wonder why. It's not because he's not listening. It's not because he's not thinking about your problem. It's not because he's not standing there with you. It's because it's not time yet. Robert Schuller tells a story about a young woman named Shannon who was impacted by his dad, Dr. Robert Schuller, on TV one morning. Shannon's mother was an alcoholic. And many times as a child, Shannon had to hide underneath the bed or a desk or some type of furniture so she'd be very quiet and mom would not find her. As she got into high school, she turned to drugs to cope with life. Things got worse. But that morning when she was watching Robert Schuller on TV, and he said, "Jesus loves you," she felt it in her heart. She felt a peace about herself. And she decided that she was going to start praying for her mother, her alcoholic mother. And she prayed and she prayed and she felt God's presence in her life, but nothing was happening. Her mom was still drinking and she was still having to stay away from her. She didn't even like to have friends because she didn't want her friends to find out her mom was an alcoholic. And because she didn't see God answering her prayers, she decided to take matters into her own hands. And we've talked about that before, and that's not always a good idea. She took the last bottle of booze her mom had while her mom was passed out on the couch. And she knew that that was a bad thing, because you don't want to take that last drop of alcohol away from an alcoholic. That's not how you get them to quit. One evening, she was talking to a friend on the phone after she had taken this bottle, and her mother came busting into her room and screamed, "Shannon, I hate you and I want to kill you." And she had a knife in her hand. So Shannon slammed the door and locked it to keep her mom out. Next thing, she hears a thud as she sees the blade of that knife go through the door. And it scares her to death. And she falls down in her floor. And she asks God why, and gets angry with God. And God says to her, "I want you to go tell your mother that you love her," which was not what Shannon wanted to hear. But she got up off her knees. She opened the door so that she could tell her mother she was sorry and she loved her. And her mom was crumpled on the floor outside her door. And she said, "Mom, I'm sorry that it's like this. I love you very much and I am so sorry." But nothing changed. The fights kept occurring. And every time something like that happened, she'd say, "I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry it's like this. I love you." One day she came home from school and she felt a certain peace as she walked through that front door. She went into her bedroom and her mother came in there. And her mother put her arms around her and said, "Shannon, I am a very, very sick person. I have a disease and it's called alcoholism. I've called AA and they're coming to pick me up. I'm scared, Shannon. I just want you to know that I love you very, very much." It was the first time in her life she'd ever heard her mother say that she loved her. Shannon's mother has been sober for over 11 years. Miracles like that happen even today. They may not happen when we want them to happen, but they happen when they are supposed to happen. Because Jesus was resurrected to watch over us and guide us and lead us, comfort us, celebrate with us. He is our best buddy and He's next to us every day. God loves us. God knows what you need, but He still wants to hear it from you. He wants you to partner with Him, so that you can deal with what goes on in your life, so that you can better cope with life. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And it goes on to explain why. And we are to take that to heart. He is our good shepherd. He wants to take care of us. He wants us to listen to Him. He wants to lead us and protect us. God cares about us. Jesus is always there because God wants to help you every day of your life. And we celebrate that today on Easter Sunday. As we remember back over 2,000 years ago where they went to the tomb and found it was empty. And it scared them to death. But then they slowly discovered that Jesus was still alive, that he had been resurrected, not resuscitated like Lazarus. Lazarus was just brought back to life. Jesus was resurrected. And when we say Christ is risen, that means here and now. Risen, is risen, is present tense. It goes with us. Christ did not rise from the grave. He didn't arose from the grave. Those are one-time events. Christ is risen. Because that's eternal. And that shows that he is with us yesterday, today, and tomorrow, through all eternity. All we have to do is have faith, trust, and believe it, because it's true. The old saying, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it, and that is it. Jesus is here with us this morning, celebrating with us, and he goes home with you as you leave here. He goes to work with you every day. He is your shepherd and wants to be there for you, because God loves us. He loves you. Amen.